the power of the dark.
Welcome to Blue Milk Special, Episode 2, for Wednesday, November 21st, 2012.
Is that really going to be the voice for that?
What's wrong with that?
Is that like kind of like an Alec Guinness
type? No, I like it. That's awesome. Holy shit, we got Alec Guinness on the line. Right.
In this episode, we talk Blu-ray deleted scenes, Star Wars 7, and hypocrisy. You're listening to Rod Hanna,
Leanne Hanna,
it's Kevin Goss.
Welcome back to the show, episode 2, Thanksgiving week. Everybody ready for Thanksgiving?
Well, it's Thanksgiving in America.
Yeah, that's true. It's a day where we thank George Lucas for what he put on our table.
Wow.
And
wait.
If it wasn't for his imagination, we wouldn't be talking here today.
It's true. That's true. God bless the gobble Jedi.
I give my thanks to Lucas.
We all hold hands.
I always give my thanks to Lucas.
Right.
I begin
right.
The meal, the Thanksgiving
meal.
Because
if you don't, Leanne, you know what will happen to you. He'll just come in and he'll make a special edition of you where you do what he says. Perfect Thanksgiving special.
So, Kevin, what have you been up to this week?
I went up to New Paltz, New York this weekend with my girlfriend, and we went to an awesome comic book shop called October Country Comics. I highly recommend it. Yeah, all in all, a really good, fun last few days. So, how about y'all?
I worked on a bunch of Blue Milk Special stuff this weekend.
You don't sound too happy about that.
Well, I've been sick since yesterday, so that kind of sidelined all of it. Yeah.
What?
But I did spend a long time working on upcoming artwork for the strips, and I mailed out a bunch of stuff this morning for kind of some thank you prints and things for BMS peeps.
A lot of people bought Blu-ray players just because of the Star Wars Blu-ray releases. Well, this weekend, we joined the crowd of fans who have made the jump to Hyper Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was that they have deleted scenes which haven't been seen for forever. Some of them have been available through other documentaries that have been made in the past. Now we've caught up to this point in the Blue Milk Special story where a couple of the deleted scenes that I've heard about take place roughly where we're at in our parody. So finally splashed out and I bought an internal drive for the computer because we have it sort of all hooked up in the living room with the television. Were there any standout scenes that you liked, Leanne?
Yes, indeed. Number one was the extended Han and Leia kiss from Empire. That was freaking awesome.
You saw the animation we put on the blog a few weeks ago. There was an animation with that kiss, but it was
But it's like, it's like she wants it, you know? Like she's like, rawr.
Right, this is on Blu-ray quality, so it's
it's like high definition Han and Leia extended kiss.
But in the extended scene before that tap on the shoulder, she goes in for a second kiss, and it's a lot more aggressive and hungry. So.
Mm-hmm.
Stop that.
Stop what?
Stop that. My hands are dirty.
My hands are dirty, too. What are you afraid of?
Afraid? I'm afraid of getting my hands dirty.
That's why you're trembling?
I'm not trembling.
You like me because I'm a scoundrel. There aren't enough scoundrels in your life.
I happen to like nice men.
I'm a nice man.
No, you're not. Okay, Archa.
Sir, I've isolated the reverse power flux coupling. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, so yeah, we kind of tweaked that extended scene a little bit ourselves.
Princess Meow.
Yeah. And then the other thing I thought, well, I mean, all of them were really, really neat. It was neat to see, you know, there was extra stuff with Lobot, which was interesting. And but the other scene that I really liked was all of the stuff with Biggs, Darkletter, that was cut from A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I've seen clips on YouTube, you know, in the past, but just seeing it again after we've kind of established our own Biggs in BMS, to actually see him around and, you know, kind of being a badass, like, I mean, with his cape and, you know, I mean, it's just neat. It was really neat to see. And it's a shame that it was cut from the film.
A long time ago, when we did the Blue Milk special strips that had Biggs, we put up YouTube links to those deleted scenes. And they're always being taken down because of copyright. So there's always someone chasing that stuff down on YouTube and removing them. So some of those scenes are available out there, but some of these deleted scenes are only on these Blu-rays. And watching Biggs in high def on the big screen, the version of the character that we've created, it's entirely from his costume. So he's got these big heroic boots, this big black cape, you know, this Errol Flynn moustache. He just looks like the star. When he actually takes the binoculars from Luke to look up at the space battle that's supposed to be going on, he's in this big heroic pose, this big cape's kind of blowing behind him, and as he's looking up, it's just kind of neat. You kind of expect him to say, well, so long, Luke, and stick his arm up in the air and take off, you know, the cape. Yeah, I really enjoyed watching them.
Another one is when they were in the Hoth base, and you see the extended scenes with the, I guess there were Wampas, right, that got into the underground or the Hoth base, and when the snowtroopers come in, because, you know, they've kind of sealed them off in this location, as, you know, Darth Vader and the snowtroopers and stormtroopers come in, 3PO rips off the warning sign that's posted to the door where these Wampas are, so that the snowtroopers won't realize that they're in there. And so the snowtroopers come up to the door and open it, and one of them gets grabbed by a Wampa and pulled inside. The other snowtrooper next to it closes the door really quick. It was just really funny. It's like, screw that guy.
I remember in one of the early trailers, they show that scene of C-3PO acting all badass, like, you know, I'll show them, like, whoa, what? You know, just like, you know,
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Mother, you know.
And it sucks because if they'd kept that would have been great for C-3PO. He would have done something really useful in the story. And I don't think he does anything else in the movie that's actually very helpful other than aggravate everybody and interrupt. Oh, he doesn't just... He doesn't just interrupt Han and Leia. He interrupts Luke and Leia. And that scene is in... in this.
Yeah. But that is a useful moment because if 3PO hadn't interrupted that, who knows what would have happened with Luke and Leia? You know,
yeah,
I mean,
Did the Blu-rays include the long lost pilot of the sitcom called 3PO, where he just, you know, walked in like Kramer from Seinfeld, just ruined people's plans? CBS, I think, passed on.
That's it, like, so. Really a Steve Urkel kind of thing, huh? Family Matters.
Exactly. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I do that?
Oh, and one other scene that I'll mention is from Return of the Jedi. They're recording all the rebel pilots during the space battle. They're reading off the lines, one line at a time, and then the actor in the cockpit of the fighter is repeating those lines. And they had two different female pilots that ended up being cut from the movie. One was a young English woman. The other one was a late middle age, maybe senior citizen.
And she was rather plump.
Yeah, she was kind of full in the face.
But she
was the kind of woman who'd be
it
selling apples.
Was good,
though.
Apples. I thought she did a better job than the younger one.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, my God.
But she looked so out of place. It was hilarious.
There's too many of them.
You're taking a lot of fire. Back off.
You're taking a lot of fire. Back off. I'm hit.
It's your left power supply.
It's my left power supply.
Got it. It's a heavy fire zone down there.
It's a heavy fire zone down there.
Get clear, she's gonna blow.
Get clear, she's gonna blow.
Oh my God, no. you guys just discovered a subplot that was never resolved. That was Porkin's wife.
More like a, if it was, that's really, really sad. Because she's like old enough to be his mother. I could believe she was his mother.
Or his mom. It was his mom.
I think that we're going to use that in BMS, because when I saw her, I was like, yeah. Oh, I've got to do something with her, because she's so out of place. She's perfect for BMS. She should not be awful. In that space battle.
It's a heavy fire zone down there.
And another cool thing from the deleted scenes is the calamari fighter pilot. There's a lot of really great ad-libs in there, and here are a few of them.
Okay. Flying along now, Tim. Looking out left and right.
I'm losing power.
Fried calamari tonight.
Fried calamari tonight.
This is the last time I fly Lucas Air.
This is the last time I fly Lucas Air. Prepare for Marin takeoff.
So I highly recommend the Star Wars Blu-rays. If you haven't made the jump to Blu-ray yet, now's the time, especially with the Black Friday deals and the general price drop on the complete saga, which is the version you'll need to buy if you want the deleted scenes. And any lesser version is a waste of money, so do it.
Word.
And now, over to our Star Wars news desk.
Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
On November the 9th, StarWars.com officially announced that Oscar-winning screenwriter Michael Arndt will write the screenplay for Star Wars 7. Arndt wrote the screenplays for Toy Story 3, Little Miss Sunshine, and Hunger Games: Catching Fire. Deadline.com reported last week that Arndt has written a 40 to 50 page treatment covering the new trilogy, Star Wars 7, 8, and 9. And also DarkHorizons.com is now reporting that Lawrence Kasdan and Simon Kinberg have closed deals to write Star Wars 8 and 9 and co-produce with Kathleen Kennedy. Kasdan wrote the screenplay for The Empire Strikes Back and Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Simon Kinberg scripted Sherlock Holmes and X-Men Days of Futures Past, which is pretty exciting.
You think it's exciting? Why?
I think it's exciting news. The guy who was originally involved in Empire Strikes Back... That's pretty neat.
What, you think like Empire Strikes Back was a good movie or something?
I think Empire Strikes Back was the best of the original trilogy, in my opinion.
And is that because you're a Han and Leia fan?
No, not really. No, I mean, because that's when you learn, I mean, that's when you, yeah, you get the Han and Leia romance, but you also learn about, you know, Luke trains, and you find out more about, you know, Darth Vader being Luke's father.
My thoughts on the news, obviously it's unconfirmed by Disney and Lucasfilm at this time, regarding Lawrence Kasdan and Simon Kinberg, so it's not officially confirmed if it is true, which writer is writing which movie. So is Lawrence Kasdan writing Star Wars 8 and Simon Kinberg writing Star Wars 9? Is that kind of how it's going to work with the co-producing as well? That's interesting. But yeah, I think it's great news that Lawrence Kasdan would be involved. I think it's a good thing about Michael Arndt as well. I mean, I've seen Incredibles and Toy Story 3. I think it's a good sign that someone who is a great storyteller with a great imagination is the one hashing out a new story or trilogy. But we're going to have to wait a little bit longer to find out what the story will be that will follow. But I think it looks really promising.
So in addition to George Lucas meeting with Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill a few months back to discuss a possible sequel carrying on from Return of the Jedi, a highly placed source has also spilled that Harrison Ford is kind of interested, or may be interested in making a cameo, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing news, because Harrison Ford has always said that he didn't like the character of Han Solo, and he's been very public about that. But hearing that, whether it's true or not, I mean, might not even be true, but it's still really exciting.
I think it's true, because I think him doing the last Indiana Jones film may have broken the ice with him and these characters that he used to play, these big iconic characters that he used to play. And I don't think he would turn down cameo role in what is certain to be a blockbuster film.
Yeah, that's kind of true, because, I mean, he's done stuff on Jimmy Kimmel. Sketches and things, so if he's up for that kind of thing, I can't see why he wouldn't at least do a cameo. But then he did like Indiana Jones more than he liked Han Solo. So,
well, another thing that I read was that he's interested in a cameo if Han Solo gets killed off. But I don't know if that's just people
taking...
I think
it was an opinion of somebody just tacking that on. He's talked about how he wanted Han Solo to die to give, like, Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi more of a bottom, storytelling-wise. Although he's repeated that maybe in interviews since, I think people might be kind of putting those opinions in themselves. It definitely wasn't a quote in the article that I read that was talking about the news that broke.
Could be.
I think this is all, like, okay, this just popped in my head. This is like we woke up in an alternate universe.
Yeah.
Because, A, I never thought we'd have necessarily 7, 8, 9 until many years from now. B, I never thought because we waited so long that, you know, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, anyone else would be possibly involved with this. So, yeah, I don't know. Although I do hope that at least part of that conversation was Lucas crying. I'm just addicted to meth, and I need to do these films in order to help my family. And they were like, sure, we'll do it.
But I think we can reasonably expect to see some cameos from Mark, Carrie, and Harrison. For me, that is a selling point.
I think that that's needed in order to tie it in with the previous trilogy, because that's a good leading on point, you know, for new viewers and, you know, to really sell it as if this is a continuation from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, they might be the main cast, in which case, you know, we run the risk of getting an I'm too old for this Sith-style movie. Think of Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. But at a minimum, I expect at least Luke, if not all three of them, to have a brief cameo appearance versus being completely shunned or ignored. As a fan, I want to see them again. I've heard some of the more negative opinions that, oh, they're too old, I don't want to see them come back. And I think those arguments are mostly from the point of view as they don't want to see these people running around doing action scenes. I mean,
he didn't do a bad job in Indiana Jones.
And Indiana Jones was a couple of, well, 3, 4 years ago? I'm not sure.
Well, it's not like it's been 10 years since that came out. I mean, he could still do some things.
Oh,
but yeah,
I agree.
he's not gonna be out there doing everything he did in the previous films.
Yeah, and that's assuming that they get like a major role in the films. They might just be cameos or supporting roles.
Real quick, I wouldn't mind having maybe a smidge, 1 or 2 minute glorified Star Trek hack type cameos in the new ones. Mm-hmm. But when I read, and I know that they've shut this down, but when I read that some paper was saying the villain will be a new Darth Vader, I was like, no. Like, come up with something new. You have this vast universe. You know, the problem I had with the Green Lantern movie was that it's a space cop, and it was all on Earth, mm-hmm. with an occasional shot. And, you know, meaning you take what you have and you expand upon that, which they have over the years with the novels and the comics, you know, which have been great. You take that and you build upon that. It's freeing, you would think, you know, rather than having to rely. Star Wars is bigger than anything else. I mean, you don't need Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford. Yeah, of course, there's a part that's like, oh, that'd be kind of neat to see him for a set. But I do not want to see a film of 60-year-olds running around. I just, you know, want that. I'd go visit my grandparents. Hey-o!
Leanne, what about you?
No, I agree with that. And it would be cool to see Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher show up in the movie if it was like cameos. But I think that for the most part, it needs to focus on, I mean, it needs to expand on the, you know, what's come before and not try and regurgitate things. Like, we don't need to see a third Death Star being built. You know what I'm saying? Just do something new. I mean, they can come up with new stories that are still in the same, you know, have the same feel as the Star Wars universe.
The original idea that Lucas had was that Luke was going to find his sister. She came from somewhere else in the galaxy, and he trains her up with the Force, and together they confront the Emperor. They confront him on his homeworld and defeat him at the end of the sequel trilogy. So 7, 8, and 9 would have been that story. But when he wrapped everything up in Return of the Jedi, in order to sort of wash his hands of Star Wars for a while, he ended up wrapping up all those loose ends. Leia became Luke's sister. Luke defeats the Emperor with Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi, and the story is complete. And then all these quotes that we have of George Lucas since 1997 up to 2008, he continually reiterates how the story is complete and there's no more story to tell. And that if he did do a sequel, it would have to be a completely different story. So because we know that George met with Mark and Carrie to tell them about his plan to go ahead with Star Wars 7, we can infer that Luke Skywalker is going to be in the films. Some people are wondering what level of involvement the character would have in the story, and I think he's going to be an important role. Probably reestablishing the Jedi Order, which is disappointing in a way because it means more lightsabers.
Yes.
Yeah.
It felt like it was like Circus du Soleil almost, in the sense of like Obi-Wan just doing this, Ewan McGregor just kind of just swinging it. Mm. Just to swing it. You know, and it was just like that had no, you know, every punch, every kick, every sword, you know, swish, swish, I don't know what to do. It has to have thought behind it, you know, that it, because it isn't a show. You're trying to defeat your opponent. You see, you know, just it's like, what was that? What did that do? Were you trying to make a helicopter? Like you were trying to fly above with the, like, you know, it just, you know, ooh, look at me, I've got four lightsabers.
Yes.
I don't care.
All right, I just thought we could discuss really quickly the BMS poll. And the question was, Disney's purchase of Lucasfilm is... Undecided wins far and away. There's 47% of 362 total votes. 47% are undecided. 24% think it's good news, and 11% excellent news. Only a very small percentage were reacting badly to it, and only 7% said terrible news. So that gives us an idea. I don't think that poll is going to change very much, even with another few hundred votes, because undecided is so far and away leading. And that makes a lot of sense. I mean, most people don't want to sort of make a judgment too early, and I think that's good.
I'm in the good and undecided. I think the undecided is most likely for everyone, because I think we live in a what have you done for me lately type of world, meaning I need to see the footage. I need more information before I get, you know, some things I've heard that are rumors that I like, other rumors I've heard that I am like, dude. But again, it isn't really until that first few images, and especially that first main trailer, I think a lot of people will say, okay, this is going to be good, or oh no, what have they done?
Yeah, I'm undecided at this point. I'll wait and see footage or some more information about what the story is actually going to be about, and then I'll decide. I don't want to make... I mean, it's so early in the game right now. I mean, we don't know how it's going to turn out, if it's going to be a good thing or a bad thing. So I'll wait and see.
Well, you probably heard the clips that we played in the last episode from his press release, where he told everybody that he's got all this stuff planned and how he wants to do a new movie. And just looking at these quotes, I mean, dozens of quotes from 1997 up until at least 2008, he is adamantly against doing anything else, and in a way, quite rightly so. It's in terms of, if you're going to do a new Star Wars film, it would make more sense for it to be a completely new story. Unless it's like a soap opera, where we fans can't let go of it. They had a happy ending. I was there with them from A New Hope through to Return of the Jedi. But if the new movies end up digging everything back up, resurrecting the Emperor, that becomes a bit of a joke. It becomes a comic book. No offense, comic book fans, but...
That's the problem with comic books in general. Nobody dies, and everything's regurgitated, and they wonder why they can't get new, you know, people to read their comics, because they have the same core base. And I'm sorry if that insults, but I love comics as much as anybody else. That's the frustrating part. But aside from that, that's the same problem here. They seem to lose focus with lightsabers and martial arts and with it. Yeah, that can be part of the ingredient, but without story, without heart, without good dialogue, without good acting, I don't care. I really don't. Other than that, I'll go play a video game, you know?
Yeah, it's like the saying, you can have the same formula, but that you still have to get the mix right.
Yeah.
It was called Star Wars for a reason. The more you try and squeeze more of the theme park in, the more plot gets sort of squeezed out. I just hope that they focus more on things which are outside of just the Jedi side of things. So many people love Han Solo and Chewbacca. There's no equivalent at all in the prequels, and that was a big loss for that. I was kind of expecting there to be some kind of parallel in the prequels. I mean, I don't think they need to replicate everything, but the fact there wasn't this skeptical kind of character there to ground the fantasy, I thought took away from some of the potential for the humor and character that the movie could have had. So I hope that with future film, they acknowledge some of these things and really go back to fundamental basics of storytelling. And I'm nervous, actually, about that happening. The story you referenced earlier about, I think it was The Guardian, was some British tabloid, pretty much all of them are horrible, talking about them resurrecting Darth Vader in Star Wars 7. They're going to bring back Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. There's no way. It's more likely some idiot reporter has misheard or misquoted somebody, or he's leapt to that conclusion himself, or he's made the whole thing up. It gets people's attention, for sure, but I can't really take that seriously. If they did do it, if it turned out they were going to do something like that, then, you know, I my attitude towards the new films would turn pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you guys think about some of these directors that have been rumored to possibly direct Star Wars 7? I think there's Matthew Vaughn, who directed X-Men First Class and Kick-Ass. I know Spielberg, Brad Bird, J.J. Abrams, Zack Snyder. And I do think some of these guys have said no already. And I think I saw on Twitter, it was maybe Patton Oswalt or somebody actually wrote Brad Bird on Twitter and asked him, and he said no.
I was hoping you were going to say Patton Oswalt was going to direct.
Yeah. But yeah, so some of these guys are, you know, names are being tossed around.
Just a quick note. Apparently, Access Hollywood asked Spielberg whether he was going to direct one of the Star Wars movies, and he said, quote, "No, because it's not my genre. It's my best friend George's genre." That doesn't mean that he couldn't be tempted into it, but at least at this point, it's he's not leaping at the opportunity. And neither is Brad Bird or J.J. Abrams, by the sounds of it, if it might just be their publicists.
I don't think J.J. Abrams would be in the running just because he's so high profile with Star Trek. Just think, you know, I mean, it's a weird thing. Every time I hear the name J.J. Abrams, I think, you know, lens flare. so that would be bad.
What did you think of Star Trek? Did you think he did a good job on Star Trek?
I loved him. Oh, no, I love him. I love, and I'm super psyched to see Star Trek 2. But yeah, I just think it would be weird to have him involved. When this broke and everyone was like, oh my God, like one of the first people everyone thought of nerd-wise because of Marvel and Disney was Joss Whedon. I did not think that. I thought Brad Bird. And so I'm a little bummed that he said, no, I'm not doing it. However, again, it's trilogy. I think a lot of these guys are kind of just waiting near the pool, you know, to see who bites for the first one. 2 and 3, I'm sure they'll have, you know, quote-unquote bigger names. You know, another guy's been mentioned, I don't know his name, but he directed a film called Safety Not Guaranteed, which is a total indie film, which is really good. I highly recommend it. So, again, I don't know the guy's name, but he's been thrown around a lot. Matthew Vaughn, I think, is a good choice. I really like his work in Kick-Ass. I enjoyed X-Men, but more so for Michael Fassbender. And a film that doesn't get enough praise, I think, because I thought for what they did a good job. I think Matthew Vaughn is probably on the top out of all of those folks.
This is your preference, right?
My ultimate preference would have been Brad Bird, but again, there's always sequels.
Well, what did he say exactly? Did he just say no to the question? I mean, as in he hadn't been contacted about it yet? Was he saying I'm not interested, or no, no one's said anything to me?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was kind of like he's not in the running at all.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like to me. That's the impression I got.
They've got the treatments done, the story treatment, 40 to 50 pages, which is supposed to cover this trilogy, I believe.
Yeah.
So they have material already, probably at a point they can send off to directors. They probably have done that already, because they're going to have to be moving pretty fast if they're going to get this movie out in 2015.
I mean, some of these guys, like what Kevin said, a lot of these, you know, more notable directors are probably kind of skeptical as to the way this is going to turn out, and they might be waiting to see how it develops and, you know, how the first one goes before they're going to jump in with, you know, any sequels or be involved in any capacity.
Another catch could be, I mean, being fairly well-known directors or directors that are busy with a lot of work, to suddenly jump onto a new movie, whether it's Star Wars or not. I'm sure these people have got like a schedule of movies that they've got lined up to do already. So they'd have to like turn their backs on the next project or somehow get out of that deal to do Star Wars. So Spielberg's definitely got stuff lined up. So is Abrams and Snyder. Bird, I don't know. And Vaughn, I think he was... I can't remember what project he was just attached to, but... Obviously, he's got stuff going on. So probably none of them are particularly available.
That's the thing about Matthew Vaughn is he was attached to direct the sequel to X-Men, and he dropped out.
Yeah, but dropped out, wasn't it for a purpose for another movie? Or are you saying nobody knows?
It was supposed to be another film. But, you know, again... You know all of this. Even Brad Bird, the reason why he was rumored was because he has a super secret project at Disney. And everyone was like, oh my God, this is what it is. So, who knows? Again, here's my thing. If they want to make this 2015, I mean, I guess I'm assuming spring of next year maybe is when we'll start hearing. Or do you think it would happen earlier when they'll announce the director? Like, do you feel, with the internet and stuff, do you guys feel like it's almost a, they themselves feel like they're under pressure to rush these announcements now? Because everyone's just so, give it to me now. All right, what's next? Give it to me now.
I mean, they're going to have to make an announcement, I would think, in days to attach a director to this, if not in weeks. This is what I'm thinking, because, I mean, 2015, you've got, when you say 2015, that gives you a lot of leeway. I would probably go for Christmas. I definitely don't think that anything could come out summer or July, because there's a rumored release date of July. This is when it's supposed to be released in the UK. Apparently, July 7th, 2015, which is just pulled out of someone's backside, I think, that particular day.
Yeah.
Yes, Disney has the resources in terms of special effects and pre-production and everything, but you've got still a ton of pre-production. You've got makeup and effects, CGI... So it's going to be a lot of work just before they even start filming, preparing things, and a lot of post-production work. Hundreds and hundreds of special effects, maybe thousands, I don't know. And for a film of the scale that a Star Wars film would be, I do not see how it can come out any time earlier than a late 2015 release. And in that case, I mean, they're going to have to announce a director soon, because the director's got to see everything through. I mean, you've got to have someone who's overseeing the whole production, and that their vision... is what takes it through.
Yeah.
2013, 2014, and then maybe... Yeah. We're at the end of 2012 right now.
I really do think we woke up in an alternate universe.
It does feel like
weird we're talking about this.
Yeah.
No, it's actually Lucas. Yeah. This is his ultimate way of getting back at everyone who made fun of him, and you know, you want a new film? Oh, okay, yeah, sure, I'll give it to you. April Fools!
Well, look at some of those quotes from what he said, particularly about the expanded universe type material. He says, "There isn't any story. I mean, I never thought of anything. And now, there have been novels about the events after episode 6, which isn't at all what I would have done with it. The Star Wars story is really the tragedy of Darth Vader. That is the story. Once Vader dies, he doesn't come back to life. The Emperor doesn't get cloned," which is that's a direct jab at the expanded universe. "And Luke doesn't get married." So he's basically saying he's unsatisfied with the expanded universe, and even though in the mid-90s he gave his stamp of canonicity to it, I think that was only ever done just to help sales and everything. It was just like, it was a PR thing. I don't think he really had much heart behind that comment. And I can understand why. I mean, if I created something, and then I step back and let other people play with the sandbox, and I wasn't involved, and you know, for whatever reason, estranged from my own creation, as he probably was, then I come back to it, I probably would ignore them too, you know? And can't pick back up where I felt the real story was. And that's basically what he was saying in those quotes. What has been done doesn't count in his book. So that's going to really potentially upset a lot of Expanded Universe fans. Even though he acknowledged when he was talking to Kathleen Kennedy in the video interviews that he did, that he's handed a lot of the comic books and books over to Kathleen, so she's got those as resources to draw upon, which kind of indicates that he's acknowledging the EU. And yet you look at a quote like that from just 2 years, well, 3 years ago, you know, the way he switches and changes is actually really kind of unsettling.
Well, I think it proves one thing. George Lucas has had an evil twin.
You replace the original Lucas, that would make explain a lot. The real ones
locked
up.
Out there. They're both out there. They look the same. So it's like one gets interviewed.
Right.
And he's like, oh, yeah, totally. I want to do another one. Absolutely. And then the other one's just like, no, I never thought of that.
Yeah. So which is a good one? The one who doesn't want us to have a new movie or the one that sold it to Disney?
That's what my brain said when I was thinking. I was like, I don't know. You said the stupid joke.
Stay in attack formation.
Disney's record of success, they acquired Marvel in August 2009. Since then, Marvel Studios has released Iron Man 2, Thor, X-Men First Class, Captain America, Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, The Avengers, Amazing Spider-Man Reboot. So there's a ton of stuff, but The Avengers is the first one of those to be distributed by Walt Disney Pictures. And all the upcoming Marvel Studio films are going to be distributed by Disney. So arguably none of these films had a great deal of creative involvement from Disney, perhaps little to none. And you've got Iron Man 3, Wolverine, and Thor 2 that are filming right now. And there's six more Marvel superhero movies in development through 2014, 2015. Do you think Disney had much of a influence in the Avengers movie?
No, I think, again, just the way everything is out there immediately, and studios do, to a certain extent, listen to genre fans, and they know how crazy we can be. I think the Marvel, Disney, and the Disney Lucasfilm, is they're more going to have their hands in the cookie jar when it comes to budget and merchandise, to all the behind-the-scenes stuff. But I think as far as the actual films and the script and so on, I think they trust Marvel enough, they trust Lucasfilm enough to be like, okay, it's your baby, you guys are the experts, we're just the ones distributing it. You know, it's very interesting how brands work. I mean, we see a name, Disney, and we think, oh, they totally, they're involved with everything. Well, not necessarily, you know what I mean? Like, how many films have we seen where it's just like, Disney presents a film, blah, 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 in association with this, and in association with that? It's just like, wow, there's a lot of hooks going, you know, it's not just one, you know, company, so.
Lucasfilm can expect to have little interference, perhaps. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
On a positive note, Bob Iger, in his press release about the purchase of Lucasfilm, he acknowledged the Star Wars Expanded Universe. He said, 17,000 characters inhabiting several thousand planets and spanning 20,000 years were now part of that purchase. So he was acknowledging the Expanded Universe and all the toys that they had now to play with. So I thought that comment was deliberately worded for fans.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. That's a good sign. And obviously, Lucas said, you know, he's giving his treasure trove of hundreds of books and comics to Kathleen Kennedy. That's in reference to the Bantam and Delray books and Dark Horse Comics. So there's a lot of stuff they can pull from for whatever they plan to do, not just with movies, but television shows, theme parks. I mean, the theme parks could acknowledge the Expanded Universe, maybe. There's obviously going to be some kind of Star Wars theme park, especially when the movie comes out. So, whether it's just a section of Disney World or Disneyland or a whole new, you know, spin-off park like the Harry Potter stuff. So it's pretty exciting. And that, when you look at it that way, there is a chance that the Expanded Universe might get more representation than some of the naysayers are thinking.
Yeah.
Like in the original movies, you know, Mark Hamill wasn't really well known. Harrison Ford was. Carrie Fisher, was she a big deal then?
No, she was not known. She was
coming
into like pretty much one of her first roles. She was like 17 or 18 when she
auditioned. Yeah. So I don't know what they're going to do, what actors they're going to decide to put in the new movies, but I hope it's not really well-known actors that are going to take me out of the film, because I actually thought Ewan McGregor did a good job as Obi-Wan. I thought he was okay. But like Jimmy Smits,
yeah,
you know, it's like, eh, come on. And didn't you have that problem with Rod, with the New Zealand actor who played?
Yes and no. Okay, first of all, I'm really familiar with a New Zealand accent, particularly a Maori and Pacific Island accent. So I could hear it. And it just kind of threw me a little bit, because that's from my home. And it's cool and everything, but it belongs on Earth, you know. So with Temuera Morrison, I was familiar with the accent. And I obviously, the change of voices, because didn't they change Boba Fett's voice?
Yes, they did.
Now, why? I mean, Temuera Morrison was playing Jango Fett, not Boba Fett.
But wasn't he supposed to be like a clone or something? Was he his actual son or...
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I thought it was supposed to... There was some clone deal, so they used his voice for Boba Fett. They redubbed it in the originals, which I thought was awful.
Yeah, that pisses me off, because it's unnecessary. And there's nothing wrong with the original voice actor. But now Lucas, wanting everything to seem perfect, you know, feels that because he's set someone else up now in the past as this guy, I mean, it wipes out what he's done later. He's retconning. You know, I grew up with Boba Fett's voice. I grew up with Sebastian Shaw as, you know, the old Anakin underneath the Vader mask, and him standing there, his ghost with Obi-Wan and Yoda. And yeah. I think it's disrespectful to, you know, erase his head and replace it with Hayden Christensen.
Can I say something about that, though? Because this is one of the things that when I first watched the original trilogy... I kind of thought it was the raw deal that David Prowse didn't get to be unmasked and be Anakin. Yeah. He was the right age. I mean, they could just have slapped makeup on him and stuff, and it would have been a nice nod to him, because he was Darth Vader.
Yeah, but the problem with that is,
and he,
his,
you know,
voice.
He was dubbed over, and
yeah.
Well, they could have. I don't know. I mean, they could have dubbed it or something. I don't know. But I always kind of felt bad for him, and
no,
I thought you know. I thought he kind of got a raw deal.
Well, what I don't like about this retconning, that of course once again doesn't make any sense, is, yeah, it was disrespectful to Sebastian Shaw, but what doesn't make any sense, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but when they show the ghost of Obi-Wan, it's Alec Guinness, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Yoda when he's old. So why the F is Anakin young?
I can answer
Oh, really?
Yeah, unfortunately, because I thought exactly the same way as you, but I read somewhere. Yeah, well, it can go either way, okay? It can go the way you just said, okay? Or we're seeing him the way he was before he was practically killed and turned into Darth Vader. You know, so we're seeing Anakin, but because he stopped being Anakin at that point and became Darth Vader. So we're seeing Anakin... the last time he was Anakin. But Anakin was never wearing Jedi Master robes. Do you know what I mean? He wasn't a Jedi Master at the time, and now he's wearing Jedi Master. So, come on, you know? Clearly, it should be what you're saying, Kevin. It should be him how he would have looked now. But why wouldn't Obi-Wan have been his younger, handsome self, you know? Not saying anything disrespectful to Alec Guinness, but I think if we're that old, we all want to look a little bit younger.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think, too, that... You know, if you say that he stopped being Anakin when he was young and then he became Darth Vader, well, in my eyes, he's redeemed himself at the end of Return of the Jedi and has gone back to still, you know, messed up and, you know, part cyborg or whatever. But he's still, you know, you've got the Anakin part of him back in a way. So, I mean, I still don't see why Sebastian Shaw can't be there. I mean, why do you have to go back to a young Anakin? It doesn't make sense to me.
I
feel like he's redeemed himself in Return of the Jedi, so, and he's old, you know, so why can't he, you know, be an older ghost standing there? I don't know.
Yeah.
New plan. It's going to blow your mind. it's going to blow your mind. I just thought of a way to not only retcon it to the extreme so that you not only offend Shaw, but Guinness, but also you allow Disney, which is mostly known for kids stuff, to do a spin-off cartoon called Get At Babies. When Luke looks at them, they're all babies. Just have three babies.
And you can get a version where you get Jedi babies, baby ghosts,
yeah.
or you get the teenage kind of rebellious kind of ghosts, or
exactly.
the even older kind of skeletal kind of figure.
I think that there should be an option where you can see the ghosts, and then all of a sudden, like, you click a button, and a little baby Ewok comes out and grabs their legs. Hugs their legs.
For those who did listen to last week's episode, go listen to last week's episode to get that joke.
Exactly.
Because that's awesome.
One of our Facebook fans posted a link to a YouTube video which implies that Boba Fett has a thing for Darth Vader. And, I don't know, I'm kind of convinced. It uses some examples from Princess Bride, some sound clips, which we're going to play. So let's listen to it now.
That day she was amazed to discover that when he was saying, as you wish, what he meant was, I love you.
As you wish. As you wish.
As you wish.
I want them alive. No disintegrations.
As you wish.
Okay, so I don't know about you, but I'm convinced, Leanne.
Yep, I think it's pretty convincing.
I actually had to make an edit because the original YouTube clip that was taken from used the redubbed Boba Fett. And as great as Temuera Morrison is, I do object to the fact that they redubbed the original Boba Fett. And I recreated that clip. So you listen to the original Boba. Well, that about wraps things up for this episode. Next episode, along with the usual Star Wars news, we'll be talking about how we became Star Wars fans, and also what goes into making a Blue Milk Special webcomic. You have been listening to Rod Hanna,
Leanne Hanna,
and Kevin Kahn,
and this has been Blue Milk Special, the podcast. Music by Roscoe Lewis, and you can find more of his work at day3creations.co.uk. For more information about Blue Milk Special, you can go to bluemilkspecial.com.